You're listening to Yo Bro Games Podcast Network. Thank you for listening, gamers. Games 30s and still gaming for today, February 1st, 2006. This is our third podcast. Today we're going to be discussing console versus PC gaming. Which one's better for your money? This is Death of You, and hello, Lord Natus.
Hello, Death of You.
Well, I guess the first thing I would have to start out with, defending the console, is the starting cost. Even with the next generation consoles, only talking initial cost of under $500, at least that's what they're saying, and to have a compatible gaming experience on a PC, it could cost you upwards to $2,000.
Yeah, my opinion on that is that's correct. I mean, if you're going to go out and buy a real top of the line, or, you know, a top-of-the-line computer, it costs you $2,000 or $3,000. I agree with you with that. But most people can get a hand-me-down computer from somebody, whether an uncle, cousin, or a friend or whatever, and they would basically go ahead and buy themselves a $200 graphic card and maybe upgrade their CPU a little bit to get their taste into the system itself. But on the same aspect, once you start into the system, you can always keep upgrading your system to make it your top dollar system. Where a console, you're basically just stuck with what you have until they make a new one.
Yeah, but with the current generation machines such as PS3 and Xbox 360, we are currently in the horizon where the software is not even keeping up with current hardware. So I feel that upgrading is not something that can be argued on this, because the consoles are so advanced that it's probably going to take them a year or so to make software that is fully capable of the highest performance with that hardware.
Okay, well, for example, I'm going to use the Quake 4. The Quake 4, it really does run better on a mid-PC system than it does on the Xbox 360. There's some slowdown on it, and basically, to me, you've already got an inferior product. But I agree with you about people not fully utilizing the hardware, and I'm speaking of this just even with PC and consoles. You know, the software is not up to the hardware right now, not at all. It's going to start soon, but it's not there right now. So I do agree with you with that.
Well, the other thing, too, you have to look at is, you know, I've played both the PC and I have played the Quake on Xbox 360. Both the PC needs a patch and the console needs a patch. But the advantage with the Xbox 360 console is that you're dealing with a patch that you're patching all the same hardware.
Now, that is a definite positive thing about, the Xbox 360. You know, it's a closed system. All the parts are all the same. That I agree with you. But to me, it's like, you know, with the Quake 4, really, it's basically that the multiplayer needs to be patched, not single player. And I couldn't honestly tell you how the Xbox 360 is for multiplayer, because I never played it. Which, basically comes to another point of me about PC gaming. You know, it really does boil down to, with first-person shooters, you got to have a keyboard and you got to have a mouse. And that's all there is to it. And, for aiming, that's where you get precision. And, you know, auto-aim, when it comes to, like, first-person shooters, it just doesn't work right. The only game that it did work out very well with was Halo. with the Xbox because of the fact that, you know, Halo was only 30 frames a second, which it was still easy for you to kind of like put the, you know, put the aiming the mouse, or I should say the crosshair, accurately. But, you know, you get up to 60 frames a second, like, you know, I assume that UT2007 will be that. That's going to be really hard without auto aim.
Well, I think that PS3 has already discussed with their Bluetooth capabilities that they're going to deal with that situation by giving the option of adding a keyboard and a mouse to it. And you'll also be able to hook it to your computer monitor and have the full experience of having a high-powered PC, but again at a lower cost than what an initial cost would be for a good gaming computer, in which if you're only, and you would have to agree with me on this, if you're only using a computer for just business and work, you don't need a lot of power on the PC.
Right. Now that I agree with you. You know, if Sony does come out with, you know, right off the bat, you know, support for the mouse and keyboard, that's going to be an added plus big time. You know, but, you know, the other thing that's coming out right now, you're totally correct when it comes to actual hardware cost. Yes, you know, PC gaming can go up to $6,500 just for a tower. But on the same token, with the Xbox 360, what we're noticing right now is that the prices of the games are actually more expensive for the consoles. Now, this is not including collector's editions for, like, you know, like Call of Duty 2 or Quake 4, for example. But lately, it seems like PC games, you know, they come out, and within a month or so, they really drop down in price big time. Not really with the console.
Well, you'll have to start looking at the ads more, because a lot of the first generation Xbox 360 games have already dropped $10. And there's been several articles discussing that with these current consoles, that actually the cost to produce games for them are actually lower, they're finding out, in which the prices will be more compatible with your PC prices.
Okay, well, you know, if that comes to that, then, you know, I think that it's a little too, I think we'd be judging a little too premature right now. We have to see, like, the next hot title, when it comes out, how much it's going to be. You know, is it still going to have the $60 tag, or what, you know? Is Halo 3 Collector's Edition going to be $90, or what? You know, nobody knows.
Well, another feature with the consoles, talking about cost, is the opportunity to go to your local video store and for 5 days run a game for $8 and try it out for 5 days and see if it's really worth the money, and get the full experience of the full game.
Yeah, no, that's true. You can go ahead and do that, but then you know, probably shouldn't say it on here, but you can go ahead and try a game too if you crack it right, you know. So it's like you don't need the disc most of the time, you know, and you go ahead and you can have multiple, like, for example, if you're having a LAN party thing or something, you can pretty much get away with the same game. You know, I know it was that way for UT2004, where, you know, you can have it on multiple machines and play together with your friends at your house or whatever. So instead of going out and renting, you know, I'm just saying for hypothetically here, you know, 6 games of Halo so that you can hook it up and, you know, it's not really worth it. Would you at least agree with me with that?
Yeah, I would agree with you. The other thing that's an advantage with console games, in which I have noticed that you don't get as much money as you used to, is when you're finished with a game, in which a lot of games, when you're finished, you're finished, you do have the opportunity to resell them and trade them in at your local store, such as GameStop, and at least be able to put a little more of the money that you invested into something new, so you're not stuck with PC games piling up in your closet.
Okay, EB Games used to have it so that you could sell your PC games as well, but they stopped that since now they're, I should say GameStop took over EB Games. But, the other thing too is, a lot of the reason why you get away with that with going taking your console games to like GameStop and trading them in is because that market is so saturated right now, it's not even funny. I mean, they got 90 of the same games because the bottom line is, it's like the consoles, they're getting to get the quantity, not really the qualities, a lot of games. You get anything thrown at you, whether it's PlayStation 2, Xbox. Somebody just go ahead and make a game and okay, well, we'll throw it on there and see how much we can sell. Like, what was that one game? Survivor or whatever. I mean, it actually made it on PC, so I was actually shocked about that. But most of the time, when it comes to PC development, it's people that are really, they've been in the PC software for such a long time, like id Software, even Epic Games, a couple other, well, I gotta say BioWare for sure. I mean, you got people right there that's just gonna hit major titles, and I obviously can't forget about Blizzard. They make something, bang, it's there. And speaking of that, you look at World of Warcraft. I mean, that game alone is the big seller right there. So, and you're not gonna be able to play that on Xbox 360 or PlayStation 3, as far as I know.
Well, another advantage that I had to bring up on consoles too is the advantage of developing games dealing with the same hardware. I feel that that helps in development, and you don't have as many variables that you're always constantly having patches, patches, patches for certain situations, such as certain video cards and so on.
Yeah, but see, the other way that becomes an advantage for you for the patches, which is it's not hard to do. I mean, what would be the difference if you click, okay, patch your Xbox? I mean, you already got an Xbox 360 patch. So it's like, if your patches of your graphic cards makes everything run smoother, I mean, it's always a new enjoyment, I go back to games that I finished and go ahead and put a new driver and see how much better it runs now compared to what it used to. You can always go back to that, The thing, what you said was very, very true. The consoles are a closed system. That's the pro and con. Because the con of it is what you have is what you have, and as soon as you open the box, it's outdated. It's like, there's new graphic cards coming out every 4 or 6 months, Yeah, do you have to run out all the time and buy a new one? No. But it's nice to know that you can. And then usually when these guys bring out the new ATI or NVIDIA, when they bring out their new cards, they bring out some awesome patches for or I should say drivers for their cards. So it just totally optimizes for PC users.
Well, the other thing too, talking about patches, is with the PC, you're also dealing with your operating system Windows, which we all know has had several problems, even current ones, where people can actually go in your machine and change all your files. They just found that out recently in a backdoor that they actually made when Windows 98 was out. So dealing with Windows, and then on top of that, having the game run on top of that overlay, don't you feel that this seems like there's a lot of times there's a lot of problems that occur, such as incompatibility with other software that you've loaded or something like that?
Yeah, when you're going direct, well, for example, I'll just use the one with us, Quake 4, for example. There's some other maps that I've downloaded more than you, and now we have an incompatibility issue. But, if we were running a server and that's all we were running as a server, it wouldn't be an issue because we would make it so we can download whatever was missing. So we would remain the same, That's my answer for that.
Well, the other thing too is dealing with Windows, is dealing with viruses and adware that has become a real problem. that after time, basically you have to reload your machine because of the performance dropping about every 3 months.
Okay, now, okay, with that, I would have to disagree with you, because there's a lot of adware things now that would just totally annihilates it right off your system. And, you know, you can always check your CPU performance. Who's to say that's not going to happen on Xbox 360? You guys probably have more spyware than PCs ever thought of. I mean, it's going to happen.
I feel that with it being more of a, like you said, a closed system, I feel that that will be able to be more controlled than what it is with all the variables we're dealing with PCs. And the other thing, too, is on a Xbox, the software you're mainly dealing with is playing games or the online or adding the arcade. But when you're dealing with loading stuff off the internet from websites and dealing with loading PC applications, then you have conflicts and adware that and viruses that are coming, and Trojans that are coming on your computer, that sometimes, even with the best software, you still can't find it.
Yeah, well, sometimes you gotta take the good with the bad. I mean, I'm not saying that a Trojan can't slide into the door, you know. I'm not going to say it doesn't happen. Sure, it does happen. But, you know, here's a perfect example. I mean, okay, what's the reason of playing games on the Xbox 360? Is it called gamer tag or something like that? Is that what they call that? Like, what's your points or whatever like that? Is that what it's called?
You mean what you are? Yeah, they use the term gamer tag of your name and your ratings and all that stuff.
Okay, well, just today, I don't know if you've seen it yet or not, but there's somebody that's already got like what 4 billion or 4 million points already. So they already found a loophole on that, and guess what? You got a patch coming. So, I mean, once again, I think when it comes to your system, okay, your Xbox 360, it's a closed system, so therefore it's controlled of that. But to be honest with you, anytime you connect it online, there is no control on anything. PC, Xbox 360, it doesn't matter what it is. I don't think there is no control.
Okay, you brought up cheating. And beating a system, don't you feel that with Xbox and future consoles like PS3 being again a closed system and dealing with the same hardware and software, they'll be just doing force updates when you hook online, because that's the only way you can hook online, not like with the PC going around such as a proxy or another server or something like that, or having your own servers. Don't you feel that the control of cheating, which can ruin multiplayer online gaming for everyone, is easier controlled through consoles?
Yeah, it really could be. It depends who's really doing it on their end, you know. I would say it's easier to have a gaming ranking for you guys than it is for us right now. I mean, the only one who really had that was UT2007, and I know Battlefield 2 has it, but people have been able to... what's the proper word I'm looking for? Like, spike up their stats and stuff. I mean, they can do that. But I think it boils down to, you know, cheating is something I just don't believe in. So it's like, I'd rather take your, you know, well, let me go back to something. I think I remember you playing Unreal Tournament, and somebody in Bombing Run had the cheat, and that was it for Xbox. Am I correct with that?
No, I actually did go back after they did do finally an update, but it did take them time to fix that problem. You were going through their server, and they had figured out a way where basically they could shoot you from underground. Probably some of the listeners out there remember this event, because it was just a certain... a group of players that you went on their server, and that was your surprise, that you got to experience people actually shooting you from under the ground, but you couldn't shoot them.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too. It's like, you know, basically to me, you know, and I'm sure that you feel the same way, Death of You. It basically boils down to what you really like. Now, there's some genres that just never gonna make it on console. For example, RTS, you're not going to really have them You know, you're going to have some RPGs, but you're not going to have the massive level. I feel you're not going to have them. Your Elder Scroll, I mean, thanks to you guys, that's why I'm waiting right now, because they're having issues with the Xbox 360 version of it. So,
well, just like you just brought up about certain games, I feel that with console you can't be sports games when you get a bunch of buddies together, hook up four controllers, and you're on your way. You're not going to sit around a PC and have four PC controllers. Would you at least agree with that?
Yeah, because we're going to be online and we're going to just go ahead and play on your own system, you know. So, yeah, you know, a PC is a personal computer, so it is personal. I can play it anytime, any place, you know, to a point, you know. It's my world.
And then most of us don't have as big a monitor as you do, Lord Natus. So there are the advantages of a console, sincerely, with high definition going into 1080p, that it's nice to be able to sit on a couch, relax, after a hard day of possibly having a job where you're behind a computer all day, us 30-some-year-olds and on, and having the opportunity to relax and be able to play a game on a big screen with a pretty good resolution.
Okay, but here's the whole thing. Do you already have that high-def monitor, or are you going to go out and get it? Because if you are, your 400 just became something else, you know. So that's another thing you got to look at. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, if I had a choice of a 27-inch 4:3 format TV, you know, that's only 480i playing split screen four ways on that, I gotta admit with you, I'd rather deal with a 15-inch monitor by myself. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. It is nice though, again though, to have, like I said, with counseling, sincerely, gaming, that when people come over and you play console games, it's actually more of a social event. And I have to agree with you, with the PC, it's more of a personal event. You are communicating with people and experience, but it is more of a social event when you have people come over. Sincerely, if you have kids and you're playing games with them, or if you have younger relatives that come over, it's something you can kind of interact with and kind of stay on the same plane together, where you guys are, you know, interacting, and in which sometimes it's very hard to interact with the younger crowd.
Yeah, you know, I would say one thing that has definitely changed is, you know, I would say back then we had a problem with having a gamepad that was actually really good for the PC. But now there's a couple of companies that have really, like Cytec, and definitely now with the Xbox 360 pad, you know, gamepad, it's great for adventure games, you know, because you do kind of need them for those, you know, like, for example, the King Kong game, you know. But I feel that all together, whatever you decide to play, you know, play it. But I just feel, to me, my heart is definitely in the PC. Definitely.
Well, the other thing, too, I wanted to bring up on the console side is it's easier to, when you load up a game, to do the configuration such with the console, because a lot of it, again, you're dealing with the same hardware. So that makes it a little easier. And again, the other thing that bothers me is if you do like business on your computer too, you do have a lot of PC applications that I forgot to shut it down or some really can affect your performance, and it can actually frustrate you because now you have to shut the game down again, shut all that stuff off, and then go back into the game.
You know, we forgot to bring this up. You know, we're talking about this right now, about using, like, for example, Windows XP or something like that. Because you know that Windows Vista is going to be basically you drop the disk in and it does it all by itself. You know that, right? So it's going to be interesting to talk about this after Vista comes out, because that's exactly what you're going to have to do. You just drop in your disk, it automatically updates it. They're going to run it just like it is a console for the people who want it that way. But us geeks, the geek Jedis like myself who want to tweak everything out, we're still going to be able to do it our way too. So, you know, they're going to make it simpler because they have to. So,
well, hopefully That's true, but the things I'm hearing, because I am in the business of PCs, is that a lot of that stuff is constantly being taken out. So basically, all you're going to have is basically a Windows XP upgrade.
Well, if it happens, it happens. I'm still happy with XP. But just to our listeners out there, I just want you, all of you out there, to know that I apologize. It's just that Lord Natus has got a little cold, so if you hear me sniffling or whatever, I apologize. We just want to get this podcast done today and, you know, basically get our views and points across of what we like and what we dislike, you know. You know, Death View definitely had some great comments for his side, and but as far as I'm concerned, if you want to be the superior person on the street and you don't want to be like anybody else or everybody else, then definitely go on the PC and buy yourself an Alienware ALX. You don't have to worry about it. Nobody else is going to be near you.
And it is amazing, because I've seen you actually play on your screen, and it is amazing. It's even better than anything that's out there on console. So if you do have the money, PC has gone a long way. And again, like you said, the constant upgrade of hardware and software does give you an advantage, because you are waiting, like the Xbox, Xbox 360, for a couple years for the next hardware upgrade where you can even do anything. And console, again, I feel it's more social. Again, if you've had a hard day, it is nice to be able to sit on a couch, play a game for a little bit. And again, I feel that the online, sincerely, with the 360 has improved quite a bit, and has at least given you the option of online multiplayer, because that is recently, just a few years ago. I feel, again, you can't go wrong with both. The PC, I do agree with you. Another thing is, again, the game prices, I do agree they do drop considerably a lot quicker, sincerely nowadays, in the stores for PC software.
Okay, well, I think that should do it for us. You know, we play both of them, but, you know, really, the other factor you got to look at, too, is, A, like myself, I don't have any friends. So, basically, all my friends are online, and we're cranking Quake 4. So, but if you do have friends, and, you know, if you're in, you know, high school or grade school, for that matter, it's always fun. We remember those days when we had friends over and we were gaming on Atari 2600. How's that for you old people out there? But definitely, I just want to thank everybody for listening, and I'm going to give the floor to Death of You.
Well, yeah, I want to say, too, that it is fun to have people over and play sports games together. Me and Lord Natus have played a lot of golf games on the console and had great times.
Yeah, you said the, excuse me there. You said the magic word. You did say PC. That's what you were going at.
So. That was a slip. And I want to thank all the listeners for listening. Probably in the next few weeks will be our fourth podcast. Again, if you want to get our links to our podcast, it's yobrogames.blogspot.com. That's YoBroGames, YoBroGames, period, Blogspot, BlogSpot.com. And I want to thank everyone for listening. And Lord Natus, thank you again for your insight.
No problem.
Everyone have a good day.
Thank you.